Well, good afternoon again, everybody, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling. And there was a lovely tune called Gabriel's Bow from an Inocchio Morricone, who passed away earlier this week. And that song was the theme music to The Mission, and the Irish connection with The Mission. Ray McAnally, great actor and father of Angus, who we've linked up with from time to time on the programme, featured in that. So yeah, back home in the office today. The sun is shining, but it's pretty cold outside in Takapuna here. I know there's a bit of rain over in Ireland as well. Greetings to new people that are listening in over there. And the programme, as always, is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And I hope wherever you're listening, whether it's in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Wellington Sunday night, Christchurch Saturday night, Capity Coast, or even in Kilcairn any other night of the week, I hope you can stay with us and enjoy the programme. We'll bring you all the latest news from Ireland on the programme. And there's political issues happening in New Zealand, and they're happening in Ireland as well. But first up tonight, special request going all the way to my home parish in Kilcairn in County Galway for a good friend of mine, Noel Dively, listening tonight. And he wanted this song, Raglan Road, by Luke Kelly. So take it away there, Luke.
Saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November we trip lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge, the queen of hearts still making tart, and making a hay. Oh, I loved too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gifts of the mind. That I had loved not as I creature made of clay. When the angels the clay he'd lose his wings at the dawn of day.
Yes, one of my favourite songs there, Luke Kelly singing all about Raglan Road, and I flatted in Raglan Road in the early 80s with a couple of other lads from home, and that song written by Patrick Kavanagh, and he met Luke one day in an Irish pub and said he'd like him to obviously put music to it. And Luke, one of the great Irish singers and former member of the Dubliners, two statues erected in Dublin now in his honour, one at the corner of Gill Street and Sheriff Street on the north side of Dublin, and the other one South King Street near St Stephen's Green. And the one down and near Sheriff Street has been vandalised about three times, but both of them were vandalised about 2 weeks ago, but they've all been cleaned again, and people were calling for the one in Sheriff Street to be moved. But no, that's where Luke grew up, and that's where he'd want the statue to be. So I think they're going to try to put some protective wiring around it to stop people vandalising it, and they're just spraying paint on it. And you know, Luke, a real Dubliner, and proud of where he grew up. Anyway, you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. I hope wherever you're listening, you're warm enough in New Zealand. Certainly the temperature's dropping all over the country. We're glad to get all the rain we're getting in Auckland, but still a long way to go to fill all the reservoirs so we can afford to go get out again and wash our cars and have a shower next summer. But anyway, programme, as I said, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. As I do most weeks on the programme, I update you on the number of COVID cases in Ireland. There were 7 new cases in Ireland yesterday, and one person died. So the total number of people that have died in Ireland, quite staggering when you think about the numbers here in New Zealand, only 21. 1,742 people have died in Ireland. There's a total of 25,538 cases, and of that, 23,364 have recovered. And obviously a big issue at the moment is government announcing restrictions on travel. That was, everybody thought that was going to happen this week, but they put it off till the 20th of July. And there's calls by the chief medical officer that people should stay at home this year, not go abroad on holidays. And of course, Ryanair are back flying, and flying thousands of people all over Europe, and they have offers in the market in Ireland for people to go to Spain and Portugal and Italy and Greece. But of course, if they go to these countries, they take all the precautions on the aeroplane, and you know, they go to the holiday resorts, and after a few drinks, they forget about social distancing and masks and everything. And the likelihood is, as we see what's happening in Melbourne at the moment, they'll come back with the COVID virus, and it's going to cause mayhem again. And before he took some leave of absence to deal with his wife who's very sick, Dr. Tony Holohan announced last Thursday that Ireland is doing well, but we cannot afford to relax restrictions. I know it's been tough for business and people, but the number one thing is to get the schools reopened in September. And if people start going abroad on holidays and bringing their children on holidays, they're going to jeopardise what's happened. More on that and more on the new government, how they're getting on, in a few minutes. And thanks again to everybody last week for great feedback from my interview with the Ambassador Peter Ryan on last week's programme. And if you want to keep up to date with everything happening in the Irish community in New Zealand, the new website friendsofireland.co.nz, and Friends of Ireland have a Facebook page as well. You can, what do you call it, keep up to date with things happening there. Right, we're off with Lumiere and The West's Awake.
Come off my
ardent sentinel, a place to all not even sun's disgrace could quite destroy the glorious trace. For often
well, the West's awake, the West's asleep as we're recording this programme, because it's about midnight over there in Ireland, recording this on, well, in fact, it's after midnight, recording this programme on Wednesday afternoon here in Auckland. That was Lumiere along with Damien Dempsey, the West's awake, and that song brings back memories of one of the greatest days for Galway sports fans when Joe Connolly lifted the Lee McCarthy Cup after beating Limerick in the All-Ireland Final in 1980. And then another great Galway man, hurler and GA administrator, the great Joe McDonagh, grabbed the microphone and sang that song. It was 57 years since Galway had won an All-Ireland Hurling Final. And I know there was a great interview with Joe in the Sunday Independent last Sunday. You might be able to read it up online, talking about life and hurling and sport and just life in general. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with support of the Hugh Green Group. And yes, took 5 months to get a government together in Ireland, and he hadn't his feet under the cabinet table or the Prime Minister's table or the Taoiseach's table until he was in trouble and wondered why he didn't appoint a senior minister to the west and the northwest of Ireland. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin, you know, had to say he appointed the best people for the job. And there's been quite a few articles in the papers in Ireland over the weekend saying the day of local politics should be well and truly dead and buried in Ireland, and the best people should be appointed if they're all from Dublin or all from Cork. And of course, but things in Ireland doesn't quite work that way. And when you have the deputy leader of a party that worked hard to form a government, Dara Cleary, overlooked for a senior ministry job, that caused a lot of unease in the west of Ireland, and especially in Mayo. And Taoiseach Martin was told he's not welcome in Mayo during his term of office. But anyway, he gave Micheál, or Dara Cleary, some extra work. He gave him, appointed him Minister for Sport along with his job of Chief Whip. So that was all right. He got through the first week. And then at the weekend, revelations came out that his Minister for Agriculture was caught drink driving after an All-Ireland final in 2016. And the news was broken by a reporter in the Irish Independent. And obviously the first Micheál Martin heard about this was when the reporter contacted him for a comment. And at the time, Barry Cowan was on a learner's driver's license, or a provisional license, as we call them in Ireland. And he was about 54 at the time, was certainly over 50. And but he said that's the way things were at the time. He never got round to do his license, and he was able to have a provisional license for probably 30 years since he started driving. So, of course, people were wondering whether he was fit for office. But anyway, Micheál Martin has stuck by him. He was disappointed. And tonight in the Dáil, Barry Cowan went in and he apologised, and he said on two other occasions he had he was fined for not displaying a current tax disc, and he also was caught for speeding in Dublin. And he says, to the best of his knowledge, that's it. But of course, there's opposition politicians wondering, did he drive without somebody in the car with him on a provisional licence, and did he produce the L plates or P plates which they use in Ireland? So we mightn't have heard the last of this. And obviously this is something Taoiseach didn't want, as he tries to, you know, bed in the new government and try to get things moving again in Ireland and deal with all the issues happening relating to COVID-19. More on that, more on other news from Ireland. But up next, we'll move along here with another song. We'll go for a couple of reels here from Maura O'Keefe. Yes, that's Maura O'Keefe there with a couple of reels called Joey Beatons and Robert Stubbard. and chums, and hopefully that got you up dancing around the floor if you're listening to this in the middle of the day over in Ireland or even in New Zealand. But we're going out live in Auckland on a Wednesday night under late broadcast in Christchurch and Wellington, Christchurch Saturday night, Wellington on Sunday night, Capity Coast Sunday evening, and greetings to people listening all over the world. We got a few people in Australia and America, England, Ireland, Holland, and picking up new listeners all the time. Well, there's politicians apologising. As I mentioned, Barry Cowan spent 6 minutes apologising in the Dáil tonight over his actions of being caught drink driving, like, and he was on his way home from an All-Ireland final. He said he had two drinks before the match and went to the match, and he was after dropping a friend home and he was caught, and it was very minimum. He was just over the limit. He didn't have to go to court, but he got a 3-month suspension of his licence, and obviously nobody knew about this apart from a few close friends at the time. But obviously when politics, and we hear about dirty politics here in New Zealand over the last few days, somebody released this probably to the media at the last week, and they brought it up at the weekend. But anyway, hopefully things can move on there. But things aren't moving in the Northern Ireland Assembly, because Michelle O'Neill, Sinn Féin's leader in the North, she's been called on by everybody in the Assembly, a motion calling her to apologise for attending the funeral last week of veteran Republican Bobby Storey. And of course, not alone did she go, but you had Mary Lou MacDonald, Gerry Adams, and a number of other key people within Sinn Féin attended the funeral of Bobby Storey. And while they said there was social distancing in the church, that didn't certainly happen in the streets outside. And O'Neill and MacDonald posed for photographs close to people and didn't seem to be wearing masks either. So, but O'Neill says she'll apologise for, you know, she won't apologise for attending a friend's funeral, but if the other people are looking for an apology for doing something wrong, she might think about that. But I think the Assembly in Northern Ireland won't collapse as a result of a non-apology. We know that the last time Martin McGuinness called on Arlene Foster to apologise over her dealings with the Cash for COVID, Cash for COVID, Cash for Ash campaign for Heaton in Northern Ireland, when she refused to do that, he pulled Sinn Féin support from the government, and that's why we had no executive in Northern Ireland for more than 3 years. But I think the executive, not sure what they're doing at the moment, but it certainly won't collapse as a result of this latest misdemeanour by Michelle O'Neill up there. Looking at sports, not a lot happening on the sports front in Ireland. A number of teams are training, distance training, but club games will be the first to kick off in football. No rugby at the moment. And of course, all the soccer being played cross-channel is being played behind closed doors. See, Katie Taylor might get back into the ring again before the end of the year. And of course, lots of publicity given to the fact that Liverpool won the English Premiership last week. And I see here grounds for consideration, ranking the venues for playing games in the winter months. Of course, the GAA announced that club matches will take place in September, August, September, and then the Intercounty Championships will get underway in October, with the All-Ireland final, football and hurling final taking place the weeks leading up to Christmas. So if we're borders are down and you're heading to Ireland from New Zealand between now and Ireland, you'll be there for Christmas, you might be able to take in the what do you call it, All-Ireland hurling or football final then. Here we go, the Flight of Earls.
Flight of Earls. Brexit is our best export. It's not murder, fear or famine that makes us leave this time. We're not going to join like Alpine's fusiliers. We've got brains and we've got vision. We've got education too. But we just can't throw away these precious years. So we walk the streets of London and the streets of Baltimore. And we meet at night in several Boston bars. We're the leaders of the future, but we're far away from home. And we dream of you beneath the Irish stars.
There and from the Dublin City Ramblers, that was a big hit back in Ireland in the 80s when upwards of nearly 45,000, 50,000 people leaving Ireland really in 86, 87, 88. And obviously people move back once the economy start picking up. And we see that there's thousands coming back here to New Zealand at the moment, coming back from countries around the world that they might have stayed working there for a few years. But as a result of COVID-19, many are returning home. And I'm sure the same will happen with Irish people, maybe especially people that are living in America that are worried about the situation over there. Anyway, you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, today was the 40th anniversary of the tragic murder of two policemen, John Morley and Henry Byrne, who were trying to stop robbers after a bank raid in Ballyhadreen in County Roscommon. So there was a commemoration in Roscommon today on the spot where they were killed, and it was also a chance for the family of Garda Colm Horcan, who was killed 3 weeks ago, to be they were able to come out and thank the people who gave them such great support as a result of his death in Castlereagh a few weeks ago. And they have, a man was arrested shortly after his death. He was killed with obviously bullets from his own pistol, and a man was charged with his murder. And I know that tomorrow here in New Zealand, the police force will be farewelling one of their own, Matthew Hunt, who was killed here in Auckland a few weeks ago. But because of restrictions on people having to quarantine for 2 weeks, members of his family who returned from Australia and the UK were only allowed out of quarantine this week, so the funeral taking place tomorrow. So may the souls of all them fine policemen rest in peace. Okay, what else has been happening over there in Ireland? As I said, obviously the settling in the new government, big debates on whether people should travel and how things are going to go. We see what's happened in Melbourne over the last few days, where they have basically had a complete shutdown of their city and state, and trying to, you know, lock down 5 million people over the next 6 weeks as a result of obviously people not adhering to the self-isolation rules when they return from overseas. And we know how strict the conditions are here. If you arrive in Ireland, you can self-isolate on your own, and the onus is on you. But certainly people aren't doing that, and there was some horrific scenes at the weekend of people drinking in groups in places in Dublin, and the pubs around where these people were drinking were told that their licences may be taken from them unless they make sure that people adhere to the strict guidelines. And government have asked people, or there's a ban on non-essential travel until the 20th of July at the earliest, and we know that the medics are calling for people to stay at home this year in Ireland and to holiday, as people are doing here in their own local community, because the number one priority is to get the children back to schools late August, early September. And if Anthony jeopardised this is going to have serious implications for young people, because we know that the Leaving Cert didn't take place this year, and the results of took place instead of the Leaving Cert, where people were graded, will come out in a few weeks' time. And of course, people will be hoping to get the points they need to get into their university courses. But who knows whether the universities or schools will be opened yet? Not if there's a continuing spread of COVID virus throughout the community. Right, off this time. Have a look around here. And the sun is shining here, but it's still quite cold outside. Let's go for Mary Black and A Song for Ireland. Mary, here we go. Hit the button harder. Telling Mary Black there and a song for Ireland, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on a Wednesday night. I'm just recording this from my home office, and I've got the computer screens in the background here, and I see disgraced National MP Hamish Walker quits politics. So it's a dirty business why he ever released the stuff that he did yesterday or last week to members of the media is probably a decision he'll regret for the rest of his life. In a safe blue ribbon national seat down there in Clutha, Southland. And obviously that seat might have a bit of a poison challenge, because the previous guy there, Todd Barclay, he only lasted one term as well. So maybe it might be time for one of Bill English's children to step up in the safe seat before the end of the year. Anyway, we'll move on and talk about news from Ireland and looking at some of the other stories in the paper here. There's a new app released in Ireland the other day. It's a much more, I think, a bigger and more better functionality app. It's like the one they have in Australia than we have here. But there's been 725,000 downloads of the new app since it's launched, according to the Minister, Stephen Donnelly, the other day. And I see some people being interviewed in the news last night in Ireland says that they wouldn't download it because they feel it's a breach of their privacy. And other people think it's a great idea. Anything we can do to stop the spread of the virus in Ireland, they're very, very happy to do. So that's obviously an important piece of equipment to help people trace the virus as it spreads in Ireland. Most of the cases in Ireland have been on the East Coast, and thankfully, you know, they have rectified the situation with the spread of it in the nursing homes where most of the people that got infected or died came from. What else has been happening over there? Of course, there's heaps of publicity being given to the American politics and what's happening over there. And obviously the other side of the bar of the Irish Sea with what's happening in England. And of course, we discussed last week what's going to happen with Brexit with the ambassador. And this is the big focus that's happening now for Ireland. And Minister Cowan, in his speech tonight, apologising, also said he was working hard today with the obviously the European Commissioner for Trade, former Fine Gael Minister Phil Hogan, along with the Northern Ireland Agricultural Minister, to make sure that Irish agriculture, north and south, is not impacted if there's a no-deal Brexit between the European Union and England before the end of the year. Of course, as a result of COVID, most of the political parties were asking for obviously the end date at the end of this year to be put back a while, but certainly no, England want to plough ahead and leave the European Union as planned at the end of this year. And finally, I say there's still a bit of a standoff between the IRFU and the Rugby Players Association in Ireland over salary cuts. And I see the English Rugby Union, they announced losses of about £107 million and cut 110 staff earlier this week. And I know there's been staff let go here in New Zealand as well. So certainly the big salaries for the rugby players that have been happening in the past may not happen in the near future. Right, we'll take another bit of music here and swing into action this time with... looking around here now, we had Mary Black, Maura O'Connell. We'll go with Susan McCann. And when the song says goodbye.
When the song says goodbye to the dawn, I'm alone with my dreams.
Susan McCann there, and When the Sun Says Goodbye to the Mountains, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. We'll have a look at the farming section of the Irish Independent yesterday, Tuesday, and there's a picture of a couple of young lads, Sean Campbell from Longwood and Meath and Sam Murphy from Edgerstown Longford. They're shearing sheep at Castle Warden in County Kildare, and they have a little mobile sheep shearing unit there. And certainly the weather doesn't look great. In the background, there's dark clouds. Anyway, there's good news for beef farmers. Beef prices finally turn a corner as the British demand continues to soar. Tighter supplies and increased competition between factory buyers drive prices up across the board. And compare that to this time last year when there were standoffs outside many of the factories in Ireland over the prices that they were willing to pay for beef. And of course that standoff lasted many months. Looking through some of the other headlines from the farming section, grain yield forecast to fall 22% as the combines start to roll out. So grain yields are forecast to fall 22%, with overall tonnage of cereals expect to drop by around 400,000 tonnes compared to 2019. That's a big drop. And there's some lovely pictures of people at a few horse shows and around the country. Of course, the big shows have all been cancelled, and the big National Ploughing Championship, which takes place in September every year, that's not going ahead this year down in Carlow. In fact, most of the pictures in the paper are of people in Marts, and there's a picture here of Paddy Murphy from Ballymacward examining stock at Loch Ree Mart earlier in the week. Connacht farmers account for a third of the GLAS payments. Overall average payment in 2019 was 4,200, and that was confirmed by the Department of Agriculture. So GLAS payments, I'm not sure, it must be something to do with not headage. Anyway, I see all the lists of all the people that got them there, and there's a nice picture of a man out there getting the combine harvester going. Thriving tillage sector is crucial for livestock farmers' long-term prosperity, according to another story there. And certainly seven lessons for the agri-food sector from the COVID lockdown experience. And some of them are resilience, global warming caused by people, not animals, essential services. Yes, the farmers, we're part of the essential services both here and in Ireland. The food chain really is farm to fork. Shopping online is here to stay, and people need human contact. And finally, benefits of working on the farm. That's from Mike Brady, who's Managing Director of Brady Group Agricultural Consultants, and just talking about the lessons learned. And why a tip farming family are joining the exit from beef to dairy. After a lifetime in beef, Michael Flynn explains why he's converting the farm to a dairy partnership, in partnership with his son, Paul. And they're certainly building the new milking parlour and getting things happening there. So there are some of the stories from the farming section of the Irish Independent on Tuesday, which comes as an insert with the Irish Independent. is the Marina Waltz there from John Sheehan and the Dubliners. Let's look and see what time. We've only got about 7 minutes to go before the end of this week's programme, which is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And wherever you're listening, whether it's in New Zealand, Australia, Holland, England, Ireland or America, I hope you're enjoying the programme tonight. And just looking through some of the other headlines, in fact, you know, it's all to do with COVID. There's a lot of stuff and about the government in Ireland, and of course there's similar stories here. I see there's one story saying there, if Trump loses in November, will he leave the White House? He won't be too happy. There's a book brought out by, or coming out by, his niece, who certainly doesn't paint a great picture of her uncle. And certainly the other stories making news in Ireland. I see Sinn Féin are reviewing the possibility of a candidate for the mayor of the South Dublin County Council, Paddy Houlihan. The party has requested all its members in the Dublin South West constituency not to hold any meetings or to engage in political activity there till further notice. So I'm sure there's a story to come out there. I'm sure we'll find out more about that over the next few days. So I'm just looking at the headlines in the papers tomorrow. Barry Cowan apologises in Dáil for drink driving incident. That was stupid. A stupid mistake. And it certainly was. And I think the first mistake he made was not getting his full driver's licence like most of us did before he was 20. And it's come back. If he had his full driver's licence when he was stopped by the guards after the All-Ireland final, it wouldn't have been an issue. It was the fact that he was on a provisional licence that led to him losing his licence for a few months. I think it was a 3 month stand down. Copperface Jack's nightclub firm pays out a dividend to one of their sister companies of 45.95 million euro, nearly 46 million euro. This is the place in Harcourt Street, and I know they were close to selling the business about this time last year, but couldn't agree on a price. I'm sure they'll be ruined that fact, and the person that was about to buy it will be delighted, because of course all the nightclubs in Ireland are certainly closed at the moment. So certainly they'll be hoping that they can get back. And finally, the man that was in New Zealand got into a bit of trouble this time last year. He's now the governor of the central bank, Gabriel McAuliffe, and he said yesterday that contradicts banks on mortgage payment breaks. The central bank governor, Gabriel McAuliffe, has confirmed banks are not required under regulatory rules to charge interest on mortgage payment breaks. This contradicts claims made by the banks in a meeting with the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Right, that's about it for another week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group, and thank you for tuning in. And we look and see, we've got just over 3.5 minutes to go, so we'll go with a bit of Moving Hearts and The Storm here. Thank you again from me. Good night. Goodbye. God bless.